praise God, hallelujah, the river of God's anointing, and that's what's all about today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We welcome every one of you. Today is so special. It's time to ring my little bell here, Pastor Jim.
Yes.
Today is, Connie, what is it?
Fifth anniversary.
Fifth anniversary show. Yay!
Woo!
All right. We have been on the air on this station on Tan Talk 1340 for 5 years today.
Today.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
The owner of the station here, Lola, and I were talking about it a few weeks ago. And we were just saying how quickly time flies, remembering how long it's been. But yet it just seems like yesterday, Connie, you and I were sitting
here. 5 years, man.
Oh, my heavens.
I can't believe it.
Oh, and it's just been, remember the very first day. Madeline, are you on the air?
I am here.
Madeline,
you were part of that original group 5 years ago. On that very first show was Nathan and Connie and I. Nathan is medically not able to be here today. He's got some things going on. You can all pray for him. So we miss Nathan. But it was Nathan and Connie that were right here with me. I think I was sitting where you are today.
Probably.
I think for the first show. Yeah. And we recorded it.
Yes.
It was not a live
show. On Tuesday or something before.
Something like that before. And they said in the station, well, you guys haven't, you're not used to our equipment and all that, so you better come in and do a recording and we can stop it and so you can correct your mistakes. But what was that like, honey?
First and last.
We've never recorded one since, have we?
No.
It was so frustrating, wasn't it?
I think we might have recorded one other one because we weren't going to be around something. Or maybe we just repeated one. I don't remember.
Yeah, but basically it's always been live ever since that first show.
And today's what, 262?
Our 262nd broadcast. Pretty cool. Madeline, you were part of that very first radio team, and then you took a little break for a couple years, and now you're back with us, and we're so glad that you are back with us. But what was it like in those early days, 5 years ago, being a part of the radio ministry as we began?
Gosh, that was a long time ago. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't this long. Was it an only an hour show then?
It was only an hour show, the very first.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. I just remember whenever we would be doing it and we'd be finished, it would fly by and we'd all never want to leave. I remember that. We were all just kind of on a high after.
Exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right. And we only went about a month and a half with an hour show. And then the station came to us and said, we have a 30-minute slot available. We started out 5 to 6, and they said, you can go 4:30 to 6 if you want. And we said, we want. Because we were so, you're right, Madeline, we were so excited, weren't we?
Yeah, it was just fun. It was exciting. And, I mean, not that it isn't now, it still is, but when it was new, it was, you know, just very exciting, and we were just getting our feet wet and figuring out how to go about it, and now we're kind of old pros, huh?
Oh, we're old pros. We love it, don't we? It's just fun. It's so much fun, and it's exciting. Madeline, you can't be in the station live with us today due to some personal stuff there with your little doggy friend, but the rest of us, the radio team is coming in the door here, and then we have some that are, Carol is going to join us from Georgia in a few minutes, and Nathan can't be, so, and then we have other radio team members that have been a part of the show through the years, and if any of them are listening today, and they have gone other places, or are no longer a part of the radio ministry, we are so thankful. I am, as pastor of this ministry, I am so thankful for every single one of you. Michelle and Catherine come to mind.
Yes.
Cricket and Kristen.
Cricket and Kristen.
And there were others through the years that were a part of the show that are no longer on the show now. But we have so enjoyed the contributions from so many through these years,
absolutely,
these 5 years. Connie, you've done the music. Madeline, I want you to comment, if you will, on what Connie contributes there, because she started off from the very first show on doing the music. And I know you and I have talked about what a blessing it is that she does this, but you want to comment on it? We'll toot her horn for her, will you?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, the music, especially, I'm probably a little biased because I'm part of the praise team at Beacon along with Connie and the others. And, you know, the music is a passion, and it's such a great way, another great way to praise and worship God. And to have that as part of it, I mean, and you'll see, our listeners will see as this show goes along, as they have others, you know, how it fits in and how it always kind of comes in just when you need it and gives you a word that maybe you were hoping for or looking for. So it's a huge blessing. And, you know, I'm sure Connie knows, and if she doesn't, then we're telling her now. So it's a huge blessing, and we appreciate it.
We definitely do. You said that exactly right, because I give her a theme, as you all know, but we just let the Holy Spirit lead. That's the purpose around here, not only at church, but here on the radio show. We so try to listen intently to the voice of the Holy Spirit as we go through these shows and as we have our services like we did this morning at Beacon of Hope. The goal is always to be in tune with the voice of the Holy Spirit and follow his leading. And so often, Madeline, you and I have talked about it, we get right up to a point where we're ready for a song, and the discussion has moved just to the perfect place for that song, and it wasn't planned. Isn't that cool?
And it always does happen somehow. It's a wonderful thing, and that's how we know God is a part of the ministry too. Whether it's in the actual church or in the radio or wherever we are, He's always right there.
Absolutely,
giving us our words.
Oh, he is. So, Madeline, you've been a part of this radio team for several years. What has it done for you?
You know, it definitely, besides expanding my faith, I feel like it's giving me a little bit more of sure footing when sometimes I feel like I don't know what to say. If someone, you know, wants to talk to me about my faith or about God, it definitely builds me up in so many ways, and I feel a little bit better than I did, let's say, 5 or 6 years ago about being able to talk about my faith and about, you know, components of God and spirituality. And it's just it's a great outlet, and it's so much fun. So it shows how many ways we have to be with God.
Right.
And it doesn't have to just be, you know, every Sunday in church. It's just a great outlet.
Absolutely. Let's see what Connie has to say about that, because Connie, you've come a long way. I mean, we tease you about your yes and no answers, but you're much more verbal now,
too verbal.
Verbose than you used to be, don't you think?
It's getting me in trouble.
It's getting you in trouble? Yeah.
At work and...
Yeah?
Yeah. You kept praying boldness over
right,
me.
Right, yeah.
Be bolder, be bolder. You're going to be more vocal. It's like, oh no. Okay, can you take some of that back?
So, but you are more vocal on the radio, aren't you? You're much more.
Yes.
Yes. There's her answer. All right. Well, what would we do without Connie's yes? The theme of today's 5-year anniversary show number 262, is living in the kingdom of God on a daily basis. What does it mean? How do we grow into God? What does God expect of us? And this is going to be a cool show today, because our radio team we're going to talk about how all this affects our daily life and what God expects from us on a daily basis, and how we are to grow and what happens. And, you know, one of the things that's on my heart, and I was preaching it this morning, people need God, and we have got to get to the point that we are all freshly reminded people need the Lord. That's our first song by Avalon this afternoon.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go. People need
Praise God. Praise God. That song ends kind of abruptly, I think. Yes. Welcome.
I got to fix that.
Yes. Welcome to our fifth anniversary radio show for Living the Good Life. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. And let me introduce you around the room. And also, you may
stick your face in the camera.
Right. There you go. It's right up there. We're on the web around the world. Pastor Jim Ellsbury to my left. You see him all the time. Erin, our guitar player. You're going to hear from her in a few minutes. Alice, right there. Okay. Nan, back in the corner. Just stick your hand up in the air. Nan's got a new haircut. Terry, right here. Here we go. Connie, and you heard Madeline on the phone, and you're going to hear Carol and Luke chapter 10. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them. Now, this so applies to our show today and what we're trying to talk about and why we're here doing this show for 5 years. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not even greet anyone on the road. This is what he said to the disciples. Let's skip down to verse, can't read it here in the light. What is it, 6, 8? When you enter a town, does anybody know where I am? When you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick. We are commissioned to do that, dear ones. Luke chapter 10, heal the sick, verse 9, who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Paul says in Romans chapter 14 that the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about Paul, and let's go to Acts chapter 28, the last chapter of Acts, and then we're all going to get involved in this discussion. Let me just set it up for you a little bit. Paul is towards the end of his ministry. We don't know how much longer he lived. Pastor Jim, do you have any clue how much longer he lived after the close of the book of Acts? Maybe you do. He's our resident historian.
Probably about 4 to 6 years.
Okay. This was towards the end of his life. Okay. And when we look at Acts chapter 28, at this, there came a point where Paul had been imprisoned, but he was given a kind of a reprieve. And maybe you can give us a little historical background about that at all. Because Paul was actually, the Romans cut him a break, really, and told him he didn't have to go to prison this time like he had before.
Right. He was under house arrest. Been arrested supposedly for bringing a Gentile into the temple in Jerusalem.
Right.
When he was brought before the Roman authorities in Caesarea, he said, "I appeal to Caesar," which as a Roman citizen he could do.
Right.
That meant that his case would be heard either by the Roman emperor himself or by, you know, select set of magistrates.
Right.
But that also meant he had to go to Rome to do it. And he wasn't put in prison. He was under house arrest.
Just house arrest.
He had the freedom of the house. You know, he probably was still chained to a guard the whole time. But it was better than prison.
Absolutely.
And his friends could come and visit him.
They could all come and visit. And that's where we are as we end the book of Acts. Here is Paul under house arrest. And there's a bunch of Jews that come to him and they say, you know, we'd like to hear more about this Christian thing. This is Acts 28:22. And nobody seems to be saying anything good about it. I find that very interesting that they preface their remarks with, we want to talk to you, Paul, about this Christian group of people. But, you know, nobody's saying anything good about it. It sounds to me like they already had some negativity going on there, right? And so they agreed on a time. And I'm now in verse, 23 of Acts 28. When the day arrived, they came back to his home with a number of their friends, and Paul talked to them all day from morning to evening. He explained, what did he explain, everybody? What does it say in your Bible? He explained everything involved in the kingdom of God. That's what he was talking about, the kingdom of God, and tried to persuade them about Jesus by pointing out what Moses and the prophets had written about him. Now, there was some mixed mixed emotions, I guess, or
mixed responses.
Mixed responses, wasn't there, Pastor Jim? Some of them were persuaded, it says. Mm-hmm. Others refused to listen or believe a word. And I love what it says here in Acts 28:24. I don't love what it says, but I find this very true about human nature. The ones that weren't believing were getting very cantankerous. They were getting cantankerous, it says in the Message Bible. And they were having attitude is what they were doing, weren't they? Which, of course, Aaron and Terry, being as young as they are, they call that tood instead of attitude, right? They call that tood. And so some of these guys had this attitude, and they refused to believe a word of what was being spoken here. And Paul interrupted, and he said, you know what? Now I understand what was written clear back in the book of Isaiah. Pastor Jim, I'm going to let you just add a little bit there as to what that meant. What was he saying? I mean, these unbelievers were really showing themselves for what they were.
Right, right. I mean, they were setting themselves forcibly against the kingdom of God, against hearing what Paul was saying. So he says, you know, rightly did Isaiah the prophet prophesy about you. And then he quotes some scriptures out of Isaiah about how the people have the hardened hearts and all that.
Right.
And, you know, Paul did it the right way. He just said, okay, here's what the Bible says about you.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And, you know, they didn't like that either. You know, Paul said, it's been taken away from you. It's been sent to the Gentiles.
And this is so important because Paul was really able then to start, and the other apostles were, to really, they began to really minister outside of just the Jewish group of people. And they'd been doing it since Peter. Yeah.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Well, and it says, you know, and this, it says in verse 29, when he'd spoken these words, the Jews departed, having great dispute among themselves.
Yes.
I mean, at least he got them to dispute. And,
right.
You know, I think sometimes we shy away from things like that.
Right.
Okay, some of us shy away from things like that.
You don't. You tend to.
if it has to do with doctrine, I will. You know,
right,
like
you're going to get right in there, aren't you? Yeah.
But I think that's good because at least you're talking about it.
Right.
You're not just sitting there, you know, twiddling your thumbs and hoping that this, you know, person will stop saying what they're saying or whatever. They were talking about it.
Right.
You know, at least Paul got them to do that. They may have not been converted at that point. But at least he got them talking.
Absolutely. And it says he urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God, which is what our theme is today, living in the kingdom of God. Paul preached the kingdom of God. Paul is the one who said in Romans 14:17, it's not about what you eat or drink. Get your mind off of that. It's all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about more as this show goes along. That is what our Christian life has to be full of, the righteousness, the peace, and the joy, and learning how to live in that. So it says that Paul urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God. He explained everything about Jesus Christ. And then the last line of the book of Acts says, his door was always open. That'll preach. His mm-hmm. door was always open. Connie, talk about that. His door was always open. And how do we keep that way? And why is that so important? I mean, most of us have secular jobs. We're not just in the ministry. Most of us, all of us here on the radio team, have jobs out there in the world. We're not just sitting in church like some people, you know.
Well, usually an open door policy means that if you have something you need to talk about, you can just drop by.
Right.
Or feel free, you know, without condemnation or without any kind of a attack to
right.
be able to talk to somebody about it open and honestly.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, being afraid to approach somebody or, you know, something like that.
And don't you think that, well, number one, this is part of our radio ministry that we are, you know, we're opening the door to these principles of God every mm-hmm. week on the air. And believing that God's word gets out there across the airwaves, and we know it's worldwide with the internet. And what a blessing that door is open. And we live in a country that we have free speech, and we can do this, and we can be able to give that gospel out and talk freely. We, you know, no censors here.
Without somebody coming in and arresting us or
exactly.
killing us.
I remember we first started the show, and I sat down with the owners of this station, and I said, all right, are there certain things we can't talk about? They said, nope. I said, well, are there certain music we can't play? And they go, no. I said, so they said, it's your show. Oh, cool. You know, that's free speech. That is open door. You know, so often, though, we all find there are times in our lives where, whether it be with coworkers or family members, where we feel like we can't really share what is really going on the inside of us about Jesus, what God is doing in our lives. Or you want to comment on that?
Well, you never know what, you know, who you're working with really, truly.
Right.
And a lot of times it's not appropriate in the workplace.
Sure, absolutely. We have to
depending on what the workplace is. But, you know, I mean, I've found that, you know, when we have a baby that's not doing well, you know, I just go over there and stand, and everybody knows what I'm doing there.
They know you're praying, even though you don't out loud pray.
Right.
And that you're in the NICU. Exactly. And so we can do those things, the work of God sometimes, and not be on the street corner with a bullhorn, right?
Right. I think that it's even better sometimes to just do it in your own way.
Live the kingdom of God.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about today.
Yes. And just keep, you know, usually when I go, I have to go bed to bed to bed to do an assessment each at the beginning of every shift. And so as I do my assessment, you know, I look at them and I talk to them. And
Praying for them, aren't you? Sneaky yes. Connie's praying in the NICU. Yeah.
And some of them, it's funny because I just, if I can get down close to them.
Right.
And I start praying in tongues with them.
Oh.
They just like, it's like, I've heard that before.
Yeah. And they're looking at you.
Yeah. It's funny how they actually respond that way.
That's cool. So, Pastor Jim, Jesus sent his seven. He sent the 12 out first. And then he sent the next group, the 72. Okay. And he said, go out there and heal the sick. You know, we are commissioned to do that. We are part of the group that Jesus has sent out, because his last words before he went up to heaven in Mark 16, where he said, go out, heal the sick. Go tell everybody, make disciples of all nations and heal the sick, you know, and do all these things. Lay hands on them. They will speak with new tongues. Like Connie was just talking about, they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we find that our Christian walk, we're kind of self-conscious, you know, about what we say, and we don't want to like overstep or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yet Jesus said, I'm sending you out to teach the kingdom of God principles. That's what it's all about. Go ahead.
Well, and yeah, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers.
Right.
Those, you know, those things that when Jesus sent out the 12.
Yes.
He sent them out with the same message. Tell the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is here.
Right.
That's taking back what's ours from the devil.
Exactly.
I mean, when the preaching happens,
yes,
the evangelizing yes. happens, the signs happen,
yes,
that's taking back what's already ours, but we're taking it back from a squatter.
The squatter being the devil, who tries to come in and steal the kingdom of God from our lives.
Right.
And that's why it's so important, this show today on our 5-year anniversary, living the kingdom of God, because the devil does not want us living in righteousness, peace,
and joy
in the Holy Spirit. He does not want us living in that. The devil tries to stop that all the time. That's the goal. That's what's going on behind the scenes in the spirit world, if you can see into that. And some of us do see into that from time to time. And you can feel that spirit world coming against the kingdom of God, guys. It's all about that. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The devil is always out there trying to steal your righteousness. How does he try to do that, Pastor Jim?
By getting us to believe we don't have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Right.
You know, And I was thinking before I came over here today, I was kind of meditating on this whole thing, and there's no place, and I don't want people to take what I'm about to say, take it wrong, but there's no place in the Bible where it talks anything about the kingdom of God and ethics, or kingdom of God and right living or kingdom of God and making laws to stop certain things that we don't like.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The kingdom of God does not consist of those things. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It is taking back what Satan has stolen.
Woo!
It's moving in the gifts of the Spirit.
Yes, it is.
It's healing. It's deliverance. It's raising the dead.
Exactly. And the dead emotionally.
Exactly.
And it can mean the dead physically.
Physically, absolutely. Right. And, you know, I got to think, you know, people, especially as we approach an election year, we're going to start hearing about the kingdom of God this and the kingdom of God that and how we have to be pass these laws to be the kingdom of God. No, that is not what it, no place in the Bible. And I was thinking about that. It's all about going out, preaching the word.
Right.
God will confirm it with signs following, and we'll have the righteousness, the peace, and the joy.
Exactly. So it's a matter of living in a place, Connie, where it's, we got to start changing our mindset where we realize we are living in the kingdom of God, and we have got to start promoting the kingdom of God. And it's not about an earthly king or an earthly president or whatever. I mean, you know, we pray for our leaders. We are not anti the government or anything like that. We pray for our leaders. But the whole point is there is a kingdom that is bigger and higher than any of that, and it is the kingdom of God where God expects us to be living. I could get pretty excited about this.
And doing kingdom business.
And doing kingdom business, absolutely. So kingdom business, phase one over here, righteousness, walking in righteousness, which is right standing with God. There are so many people, maybe even in our listening audience today, who are not in right standing with God. If they died tonight, they would not be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity.
And a lot of times we're the only Jesus that people see.
Absolutely.
And so they judge Christianity by our actions and how we behave.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
We better be watching out for our own walks.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. Because we have to be an example. We got to be the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And he expects that light to shine in us to such an extent that people see Jesus in our daily lives. Mm-hmm. Is Carol on? Is Carol on? Okay. Hang on just a minute. We'll include her in this discussion. Hey, are you there, Carol?
I'm here.
Carol. Hey, Carol.
5-year anniversary. Woo! You've been on the show for probably 3 or 4 of those years, I would guess.
Well, I think probably more than that.
But yeah, could be. Clear back. Very beginning, yes.
When you're as old as I am, you forget things, you know.
Oh, is that it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I have to tell you something, too.
Okay.
When you have an astigmatism, and my doctor tells me I have the worst astigmatism she's ever seen.
All righty, then.
So when you have an astigmatism, you know, you kind of look out at the world when your glasses are off and you think, is that really what I think I see, or what do I see, or what do you mean there are 3 people instead of 4? And then you put your glasses on, you're like, oh, my goodness, I can see.
Exactly.
And my analogy for that is people who live in the world without Jesus.
Exactly.
They don't see everything clearly.
Amen.
They see things that are muddled, misshapen, not exactly true to form.
Right.
And then someone introduces them, like Beacon of Hope, introduces them by the radio or by attendance or emails, whatever they do, to Jesus Christ. They put Jesus on their face, in their heart, and then they can see very clearly.
Absolutely. Changes our whole perspective, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And when you realize, and as people begin to grow in Christ, and they begin to realize that they have an ordained mission for him to do.
Right.
And they may not know it right away.
Sometimes
it takes a long time.
Yes.
You know, it's like Connie standing over those babies and children and adults and just praying with them to let them know. You know, maybe they don't know what she's doing, and I clearly realize some of those little guys are so tiny they don't.
Right.
But somewhere in their heart, God is there.
Right.
And
exactly.
He knows what she's doing.
Absolutely.
She has heard his call. She is an emissary to his mission.
Absolutely. And you know, Carol, what this whole theme of these 5 years has been presenting Jesus in such a way that people want to find out what he's all about and want to fall in love with him. And that first step in the kingdom of God is getting right with God and accepting Jesus as our personal Savior and then learning to grow in him. That's what it's all about. And, you know, we're so grateful. We're grateful to you and all the other radio team members who spend valuable time on a Sunday afternoon giving the truth out and talking about what Jesus has done in our lives. You know, that's what it's all about.
And I'm grateful that we have a webmaster that is as gifted and as talented
as Maxine.
As she is.
That's
because
true.
Every single word that is spoken is put on
the web.
Sundays, is put up there for the legions of people around the world to see.
Exactly.
And she takes it very, very seriously.
Right.
It is her mission, just like my mission is to teach and listen to people. And I've always had an open door.
Right.
My door has always been open for whomever wants to speak to me about Jesus Christ. The students that I taught knew I had an open door.
Absolutely.
There was no judgment there. And, you know, in God, there is no judgment.
That's a huge point right there, Carol, because I think when we read that in Acts where Paul kept his door was always open, you know, he was there available to say, come on in, let me talk to you. Yeah, let's talk. But yet he always, it says here, he urgently presented, I'm in the Message Bible.
Yeah, I am too.
He urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God. He explained everything about Jesus Christ. Our goal when we're walking in the kingdom of God and teaching the kingdom of God principles is it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about Jesus.
Yeah.
And
you know, I think through the teachings that you and Pastor Jim have done.
Yes.
And the people, you know, through music and just being with people and inviting people in off the street to sit and have a meal, to, you know, to be at the sunrise services at Easter, and
right.
in just every way possible, reach out to people and say to them, we have no judgment against you.
Right, exactly.
We want you to recognize the Jesus in you, your
exactly.
gifts, your talents, so you can bless other people with what you've been given.
Absolutely. That's a huge point. And, you know, that going back to that 30-fold realm of righteousness, because Paul said the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That righteousness is talking about being in right standing with God. And there are so many out there in the world who don't feel that they're in right standing. They feel that they are worried about when the hammer's going to come down, that God's going to beat them up or put them in their place. And, you know, we've talked about that through the years, Carol, but it's a huge principle to learn to understand that Jesus meant what he said in John 3:17, that he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's what it's all about, is it not?
It is all about that. It is about saving a person one at a time. And I know so often society in its entirety looks at people who are Christians and say, you know, Jesus came to save the world. Jesus came to save you. And they're like, yeah, right. Where are you getting this dribble? Well, when the hard times fall.
Right.
And when they have situations
yes.
that they can't deal with nor understand, who do they go to? They will hit that floor and say, Jesus, help me.
Exactly, yes.
Because somebody along mm-hmm. the way has said to them, if you're in strife, if your life is a mess,
right.
God, through his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, can and will help you.
Absolutely.
But you have to make the first call.
Well,
you know, in Jeremiah 33:3, we're told, God says, this is my phone number. Give me a call. Hey, I'm waiting.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
you know?
Right.
And I tell people that all the time. When they're distressed and so forth, and they call me or see me or whatever, and I say to them, you have an open mic to speak to God the Father.
Amen.
God the Mother.
Amen.
God, your friend.
Right, right.
He's not charging you tolls.
Right. He just wants you to talk to him. And, you know, I actually, since the very beginning of this show, we have ended our shows with the song that we do all the time, It's Not Far to Jesus, because that's our goal. We want to leave everybody with that thought that it's not far to Jesus. You can get to him. You can get to him to now. In fact, we've got internet up right now. Any of you that want to send a message during this show today, you want to comment or you just have a question or you just want to say congratulations on 5 years, that's cool too. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can do that right now. But the point is, he is our friend. Carol, you made a great point right there. And it's not just that he is is way out there somewhere in the universe. You know, it kind of rubs me the wrong way, guys, when people call God the universe. Yeah. And, you know, they say, oh, well, out there in the universe, Pastor Jim, comment on that, and we'll go back to Carol. Because it just really gets to me. I mean, that's, I guess, a politically correct way of calling a higher power something.
Well, it's being pantheistic. Everything then becomes God. And God's a person.
Right.
You know, God's a person, which is why we can have a personal relationship.
Amen.
With the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because God is a personal being.
Absolutely.
Not just an abstract
universe.
Yeah, not just the universe, the cosmos, or whatever. God is a person.
Absolutely.
And because of that, we can have a relationship with God. In fact, as Connie likes to say, there's that God-shaped hole.
Right.
And almost in a sense, God has a human-shaped hole.
Right.
In his heart, because we were built to fellowship with God.
Yes, amen. And so that's what it's all about. And so God is looking all the time for those who will come into fellowship with him and into right relationship with him. Carol, comment on that, if you will.
Well, I just find it, as Pastor Jim has said, you know, he's not just a vapor in the wind.
Right.
He is all things, all time, to all people, right. Always.
All the time, yes.
And, you know, when I'm walking down my driveway or I'm just driving someplace and I see something beautiful that I know he created through his work in those 7 days that he built this world for us.
Right.
I always give pause and say, thank you. I see your beauty in that tree. I love the color that you have put into this. I love watching people whose lives have been so misdirected and misguided come to Jesus and say, could you tell me more about this Jesus?
Exactly.
I've been in situations recently in Georgia where I've been having to attend certain classes because of what I do within the city where I live.
Right.
And it's mandatory by the state of Georgia that I go to some of these classes.
Right.
So I'm getting a new vista about a lot of things. A woman came up to me at the last one that I had to attend, which was Thursday a week ago, and she said, I'm going to be in your town in a couple of days. Could I come by and see you? I said, of course you can. Just tell them that you're in town, you want to see me, they will take care of it. And I started to walk away. She put her hand on my arm. She said, don't walk away. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you were continuing the conversation. She said, what is it about you? What do I see? Why do I feel so
Amen.
Drawn to you?
Amen.
And the woman has not even spoken to me in class.
Right.
And she holds a very high position in the state of Georgia.
Praise
and
God.
And I laughed. I said, well, I don't know what it would be. Other than the fact, maybe you see the Jesus in me.
Amen. That's it right there.
If you see him in me,
yes.
Then that makes my day.
Absolutely.
If
oh.
you were to say to me, I think it's because you're this, that, or the other, and things were negative, I would have been very distressed.
Right, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't. She said, there's a peace and a calmness about you. I said, that is
Amen.
The love and the support of Jesus Christ.
And that, Carol, is walking in the kingdom of God where people can begin to see the love, the peace, the joy that we walk around with. That's the theme today, living in the kingdom of God. Carol, thank you so much for your contribution all the time. We appreciate you. We love you. We appreciate Maxine and all the web design and work that
Amen.
She does for us all the time. You guys are just an absolute, and you helped me publish my 3 books. You are my editor, and we got another book coming, and you and Maxine has just laid out and done all of it, and we just you guys are a joy, and you're a big help to Beacon of Hope Ministries. We
Amen.
Want you to know how much we love you and what a blessing that you are. And yeah, absolutely, we can
very
do
nice.
That. Yes, thank you, Carol.
I would ask a very quick prayer for the 3 of you, that in your quiet time, or maybe when you close the show and you're standing there together, please, right now, it's very important that you keep Maxine and I under God's cover,
yes.
in his wings,
yes.
and his grace and mercy.
Yes.
There have been several attacks leveled at me, and I need to know, once again, that he will be victorious.
And we are standing Amen. With you, and I do know what you're talking about, and we are standing with you. So again, Carol, thank you so much. Here Am I by Mercy Me.
On the other side of the world, she stands on the ocean shore, gazing at the heaven, she wonders, is this
something more.
Never been told the name of Jesus. She turns and walks away. What a shame. From his 9 to 5, gazing down the road, he wonders, is this all there is to life? Never been told the name of Jesus. He continues on his way.
God, who shall I send and who will go for me? Isaiah chapter 6 and the year that King Uzziah, verse 1, died. I saw the Lord seated on the throne. This is Isaiah talking. High and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces. With 2 they covered their feet. And with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. This is Isaiah talking. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." And I believe, Madeline and Nan, there are so many times that we feel just like Isaiah did right here, that we aren't worthy. I'm in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, because that's not where we were going, but we're going there now. Because Isaiah felt like so many of us feel, that we are people of unclean lips, that we don't have the right words to say. We don't know how to teach the kingdom of God. And I'm going to get both of your comments on this in just a minute. And he said, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." In verse 6 of Isaiah 6, "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth, and he said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" We know how our guilt has been taken away, Nan and Madeline, by the finished work of Jesus. Woo! On the cross, right? "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I,'" the song we just did, "'send me.' He said, 'Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never receiving, make the heart of this people calloused.'" And then he goes on to say, if they will just turn, basically turn their hearts towards God, it says, and their ears will open, they will understand with their hearts, and they will turn and be healed. And Madeline and Nan, you two are up now in this segment, and we appreciate you both very much. Isaiah, I believe, is talking like we feel so often. Madeline, do you want to comment on this?
Sure. As you were talking, I was just thinking, we're so lucky and blessed by God because we don't, we do worry in our humanness, but we don't have to worry because we can go to God in our simple talk. We don't have to know any fancy words. We don't have to quote Bible scripture to God. We can just plain speak to him and tell him our heart, and we've got a clean slate. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm really grateful for that because
oh, yes.
I need that every single day. I need that clean slate. I try to be purposeful. Our theme this year is purpose
yes.
and living with intent. And,
yes.
I'm doing my best, but I know that every day I slip up, and I'm so glad for that that invisible etch-a-sketch that I have that I can just shake, and all of my guilt and frustration and fear Woo. And unforgiveness can just, go away, and I can start again the next day.
Oh, that's walking in righteousness. That's that 30-fold realm of walking and knowing that you're in right standing with God. And I like that spiritual etch-a-sketch there. I can hardly say it. What do you think, Nan?
I made a little note as you were reading it. I wrote down, after assurance, then he said, send me.
Yes.
I think when we have the assurance from God, because there's been some things that maybe the Lord asked me to do, I didn't quite understand. But he blessed me with that, gave me the assurance of that. And with that insurance, it gave me the spunk or whatever it is. I can
right.
do that because my
yes.
God says I can do that.
Absolutely.
He's asking me to do that. And here it's like, in the Message Bible, it says, go on your guilt, wipe your sins out. Your sins
right.
wiped out. And then later I spoke up and said, I'll go send me.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus became sin on the cross. We just talked about it last week for Resurrection Day. Jesus became the sin. He was the sin offering. Madeline, talk about that, because walking in righteousness, yes, is a moment by moment thing. Yes, there is the initial time of being saved. But when we walk in righteousness, so often the devil tries to take that away from us, thinking that he has a right to take our righteousness. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, in church today, when you were talking about, the 30-fold ministry and calling it, or 30-fold faith and calling it, fire insurance, I think to myself, I probably lived that my whole life, didn't pursue any more than just, knowing I had salvation and feeling like I was okay with God. And I think it's easy for the devil to get to us on that level, or easier. And when we start to move ahead into what you said today, 60 and 100, peace and joy, that's when it gets harder for the devil to get at us, because our faith is building, our belief system is building, our faith in ourselves, really knowing that everything that God says about us as his children is the truth.
Amen.
And that's kind of our armor as we move forward into peace and joy, and the devil's going to have a much harder time getting to us than he can when we're just living with our little fire insurance piece of paper, and he knows that we've got all these vulnerable spots that he can come and attack us on.
Oh, you are so right on, Miss Wise One. Nan, talk about that.
Madeline was doing a very fine job.
Okay there, Nan. But it's true. Mm-hmm. Nan, you're right, both of you. It is so true that the devil comes and looks for our weak places. He looks for those areas where he can make us feel that we are not in right standing with God, where he can make us feel less than, where he can make us feel that what Jesus did on the cross, well, yeah, we know that, but it's kind of like in the back of our mind, mm-hmm. it went somewhere else. And we just get caught up in the condemnation is what I'm trying to say. Nan, go ahead.
Well, Satan knows our weak points.
Yes, he does.
And he'll certainly try to move in. He will move in and attack against whatever mm-hmm. area it happens to be that someone's having a problem with.
Right.
I have dealt recently with some of that in my own life.
We all do.
We all do. And, it's just, you know, my God's in control. He's more powerful.
Exactly.
And we have to plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves as we continue moving forward.
Absolutely.
For him.
And we've got to want. I think, Madeline, we've got to desire more than just fire insurance. What do you comment on that, Madeline?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, before I always say I didn't know any better. I didn't know that I could have more. I thought you just, you know, you had what you had. You had your faith, you know, your basic level faith, whatever that means. And you're safe, so it's okay. But, you know, when you know that you can have so much more, you know, contact with God, you know, one-on-one, every day, all day contact, then, you know, your life changes because it's not just this, you know, this, I don't know what you call, again, I'm going to go to basic level faith where, you know God's there and you say your basic prayers and you go on to church on Sunday, but, you know, there's not much more.
Right.
And when you start really, you know, communicating with him, having this daily relationship, you know,
yes,
like you would with anybody else who's here with us in the flesh. It's something that, you know, builds you up, and you need it. You have to have it. And when the devil is, you know, poking at you and looking for your weak spots, you know, even if you're feeling really bad and you're just, you know, in your worst place, you have to keep talking to God because you can talk yourself out of it and you can push him, the devil, away.
Absolutely. It's a battle. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, it is a battle. And we have to look to him and move forward, just like Madeline said. You know, I'm having problems talking here all of a sudden.
That's all right.
I can remember days when I didn't go through and didn't keep focused on God.
Exactly.
And the didn't thing, you know.
Right.
And then I can think of the days that I did do what I was supposed to. And Madeline was talking, it's a daily walk, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it's an hourly walk. Sometimes it's a 5-minute walk. I mean, you just, as you go on, but God will see you through all that. We have to just turn ourselves to him.
Exactly.
And reclaim, point out to Satan whose we are.
Exactly.
Whose we are, not
right.
Who we are, but who we belong to.
Jesus. Absolutely. And I love what Isaiah says here, both of you, where really Isaiah is saying, you know what? I'm a person of unclean lips. I don't say the right things. I get messed up. I really don't follow everything I should. And yet God does cleanse our lips. He cleanses the things we say. And, you know, 1 John 1:9, one of my favorite verses, Pastor Jim, if we confess our sins, what?
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
It's the cleansing, isn't it? Isn't that vital to our living in the kingdom of God? It's the cleansing, the moment by moment sometimes. You want to comment on that before I get back to Madeline?
Yeah, I mean, it's what's been said before. We have to have a consciousness of that cleansing because
yes,
otherwise God won't disqualify us from the kingdom. We'll disqualify ourselves
right
from walking in God's kingdom.
Yes.
Because we'll think we're, you know, like Isaiah, I am a person of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. I'm not worthy
right
for this. But God's provided it. I mean, all we have to do is confess our sins and 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, if any of us sin, we have an advocate with the Father,
amen,
Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins.
Woo! Amen.
They're
That's
gone.
It. There's the answer right there, and they're buried in the deepest sea.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline, comment on that, dear.
It's, you know, it's really overwhelming to know that we can have our flaws, and we can make mistakes, and we can have, you know, really, really weak moments and know that God completely and totally understands and loves us when we don't come close to loving ourselves. And I, you know, I don't know what I would do without that. That's huge. That's,
it's huge.
You know, it's something that, you know, lifts me up when I feel like nothing can.
Right.
And I, you know, and no one else could do that. Only
right
God. Only God can give us that unbelievable grace and mercy and loving forgiveness.
Absolutely. And it's so important that we learn to walk in righteousness, because when we do right standing, then we are not as likely to let the devil beat our heads in all day long. Nan, comment on that.
Well, in sitting under your teaching, you know, I've been in church all my life, been in leadership part of that time too.
Right.
And sitting under your teaching, I've really learned about the no condemnation. Mm-hmm. I've learned not beat myself up.
Right.
And I have been probably the queen of doing such a thing.
The queen of
condemnation.
Oh, what a nice title. Oh, Alice is saying she is too. So
Guess
you have to share the title. I don't know.
There's Brother Jay.
Oh, there we go. All right.
And I'm the real one.
We all can relate to this letting the devil steal our righteousness. Yes. I can't really, but.
And I'm thankful for that teaching. And, you know, that I don't beat myself up when I mess up. You know, the other day I kind of messed up. Not a big deal thing, but still a mess up, you know. And it was like, I said, God, please forgive me. And I was able to go to sleep that night without a problem. Woke up the next day and I wasn't beating myself up. And I knew I'd gotten it then from you when I knew I wasn't beating myself up.
Right.
But
amen.
I'm thankful for
that
teaching.
We're learning to walk in right standing with God, righteousness. We're learning to understand that that is a vital first step to being a part of the kingdom of God and really walking in it. And you know, Jesus was sitting around talking to the disciples about this because their commission was go out and teach the kingdom of God. What did Paul do? He sat in his house and all of his ministry was about the kingdom of God. It's Paul that said in Romans 14:17, it's not what you eat or drink. People get hooked. They get so messed up in external things like wearing pants, women wearing pants, or, you know, I mean, you don't see that anymore, but you know, years back that was things where people were hung up on things like that. And Paul said sleeves and jewelry and all that, playing cards, makeup and dancing and all of that. It's not about what you eat or drink, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. Madeline, we'll get back to you in a few minutes. Listen to station identification.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
And that's a lot of stations. And so we join all of you and have in the last kind of year and a half or two since these extra stations have come on board. And, of course, we're on the web worldwide. So you can go to tantalk1340.com, tune in, and actually see us right now in the studio. Our shows are recorded by our wonderful engineer in there, Cedric, and they are sent to our website, and they're usually on our website by the next day after a show. So you can go to beaconofhopeministries.com and find a show and listen. It's a great thing to listen to in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services live Sunday morning at 10 at 3700 Almerton Road in Clearwater. And Wednesday night is a wild, fun Bible study time. And it is great. We teach in an interactive way where you can really understand the principles. And so even if you're new to Bible study, we welcome you to come and be a part of that. Alice, you enjoy Bible study, don't you, so much?
I love it.
Yeah. Alice joins us now, one of our radio team members. And what's so cool about Bible study? Why would you encourage our listening audience, if they're in the Tampa Bay area, to come at Wednesday nights at 7?
One of the things that I really love about the Bible study is being able to ask questions.
Right.
It's not like, I mean, you're teaching, you're not giving a sermon.
Right.
You're actually teaching us the Word of God and how we can apply it to our daily life. So if we don't get it,
right.
And I know a number of times I've raised my hand and said, I don't get it.
Right.
You'll give an explanation or somebody else will say, you know, this is how I see it.
Right.
And we kind of get different views and different perspectives of how we can apply God's word to our daily lives. I think it's wonderful.
It is, isn't it? And and we set up tables. People bring their dinner and get their Bibles and their notebooks. And we encourage people to take notes and to study the word of God. That's what we're doing. We're studying the word of God and learning the principles like we are today on Living the Good Life, living the kingdom of God.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. If you are new to the ministry of Beacon of Hope, we are in our 11th year, believe it or not, as a ministry. And we are excited about the growth. We're excited about what God is doing. We have a fabulous praise band. And Aaron, you play lead guitar in our praise band now. And Aaron now joins us. And you are a part of our radio team on a regular basis now.
Hello.
And hello. And you are just playing that guitar just really letting it go fly today, weren't you?
Yeah, it was
great, wasn't it? I mean, it's so good to have the instruments that we have And we went for a period of time without that. And so to have it all again is just absolutely wonderful. And you are huge in that and lead those contemporary songs, which is a blessing, isn't it? It's a joy to be up there.
It's fun.
It's fun.
We have a good time.
Yeah, we have a great time. So we encourage you, if you're in our area, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, and we have a great praise band, have a lot of good music, really good music, a move of the Holy Spirit, and, of course, the anointed word. And so, Alice, it's so important to be a part of a body of believers, is it not?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What has it done for you?
It's given me a family,
right?
Unlike any family I've ever known. It's given me people that have been very supportive during difficult times.
Right.
It's given me prayer partners.
Right.
It's given me a place to turn to when I don't have any place else to turn.
Exactly. So, and we all need that.
Oh,
we
yeah.
need that. Sometimes
Definitely.
Our earthly families are not as supportive as they need to be,
right.
or as we would want them to be. So we do have that family, and we offer that to you at Beacon of Hope. Let's go to our next song, Here Am I, by Down Here.
Sometimes your calling comes in dreams. Sometimes it comes in the Spirit's breeze. Yeah. You reach for the deepest hope in me and call out for the things of eternity. But I'm a man of dust and stains. You move in me so I can say, failures and upset plans test my faith and leave me with empty hands. Are you not the closest when it's hardest to stand? I know that you will finish what you began. And these broken parts you redeem, become the song that I can sing.
Send me. That's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. This is our 5-year Woo-hoo! Anniversary show. Yeah. We have been doing this for 5 years today. And if you want to send an email, you can pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And so we're going to John chapter 14. We're just not going with where I thought we were going. We are talking about...
Surprise,
right, Alice? We are talking about living the kingdom of God. John 14, this is... Jesus spoke these words right before he went to the cross. In verse 23, he said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. He will come to him and make his home with him." And that's what it's all about, falling in love with Jesus. Aaron, you did that song today, first time we've done it at Beacon.
Madly.
Madly. Tell us the words of that chorus. Can you just say it?
I'm madly in love with you.
Well, you can sing it a cappella if you want to. I'm madly. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're doing a good
job. That's all right. I'll
let
you do it, sweetie. You're the music person. Go ahead. How's it go?
I'm madly in love with you. Yes, I'm madly in love with you. Oh, I'm madly in love with you. Yes, I'm madly in love with you.
It's talking about falling in love with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And guys, that's what it's all about here. And Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. I mean, as we love him, we want to serve him. Let's talk about that.
Wow.
I mean, that's the key to getting to that 60 level.
You know,
the key is falling in love, madly in love with Jesus.
It is. And I remember when I first got to know Jesus and asked him into my heart. And
how old were you, by the way?
7.
Okay.
And I don't know if I really understood everything.
Probably not
at that age. But as I got older and I got to know him a little bit better. But it didn't, I don't think I really got to know God like I do now until,
oh, sure.
Gosh, mm-hmm. I was an old lady. we won't go
into
ages.
Such an old lady that you are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I found that the more willing that I was to say yes to the things that God was asking me to do.
Amen. Well, wait a minute. That's right. That's right on.
The closer I got to him.
Absolutely. It's obedience. It's obedience. It's obedience. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it's funny because Nan and I were just talking about rebellious spirits earlier today. But anyway, the more I was willing to say yes, the more I got to know God.
Oh, yeah.
And the more I got to know God, the more willing I was to say yes.
Yes. That's good. That's good.
And it can be a little scary at times because you're stepping out into the unknown. You're stepping out into situations where you don't know what God's going to ask of next.
Right.
You don't see the end. And it reminds me of the dream.
The dream.
The dream.
Your dream. I just thought of it, too, right then. That's God. God wants you to share that dream from, like, 2008, maybe.
2008, 2009, something like that, yeah. I had this dream that I was standing in, right at a pool of water, lake, pond, something like that. and I was standing on a stone right at the edge of the water. And I was like, okay, I don't know where, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing here. And there was a stone in front of this other stone.
Okay.
Right? And so I'm standing there saying, okay, I see this stone, but I don't see where this is going. I don't know what's going on. So I went ahead and I stepped onto that stone.
Right.
And then another stone came up in front of it. I was like, ooh, okay. And so then I stepped on that stone and then another stone came up.
Yes.
It was really cool because it was like I couldn't see that there was going to be another stone until I took that step.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what it's all about. That's called obedience.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So look what Jesus says here. He who does not love me, this is verse 24 of John 14. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Because the obedience, the key there is loving him. Aaron, we got to sing it one more time.
I'm madly in love with you. Yes, I'm madly in love with you. And I'm madly in love with you. Yes, I'm madly in love with you.
Woo! And that's the key to getting from that place of just being stuck at fire insurance and knowing your righteousness and right standing with God, and then going on into that level of peace, because Jesus says right here, you gotta love me. He gives us the clue. This is so good. This preaches, you know, guys? This is it. This is the key right here. It's falling in love with him to the extent that we want to obey.
Right.
And then he promises us here in verse 25 of John 14, all this I've spoken to you still while I'm still with you, but the counselor, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Why is that so important that we have the counselor there reminding us?
Because in our humanness, we forget.
We forget.
Just like the dream. I had forgotten about that dream until I started talking about whatever it was I was talking about. And then God brought it to my mind.
Exactly.
You know, so we go through so much on a daily basis, and we have so much information poured into our brains.
Right.
That our brains are a little selective on what we keep in the forefront.
Good point.
So we tend to forget things that are important, but for whatever reason, our brain has selected not to keep that in the front of our brain.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit will bring those things that we have in the back.
Right.
Rattling around in there, the Word of God, and we'll bring it forward when we need it. So that's pretty awesome.
Isn't that? Oh, it is awesome. So in verse 27 of John 14, here we are. This is the kingdom of God. Remember, everybody, Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we look at verse 27 of John 14. Peace. These are the words of Jesus. They're red in my Bible. Peace I leave with you. This is what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Can I read that in the message?
You
because
may.
Because it is so cool.
It
Please
is really
do.
Cool.
Okay.
Message.
All right. Let's hear it in the message.
Okay. It says, I'll go back and start on 25. I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I've told you. I'm leaving you whole and well.
Wow.
That is my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned, bereft. So don't be upset. Don't be distraught.
Amen. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for us. But I tell you, it goes back to this. It goes back to us falling in love with Jesus and wanting the gifts. You know, rarely do I get Christmas gifts from people I don't know. Maybe never, right? Connie's looking at me because she hadn't slept last night. She didn't get that, but you got it? Okay. I mean, rarely do we get gifts from people that we don't know. We usually get gifts from people who love us and we love them. And that's just the way it is. It's usually gifts at Christmas are exchanged with your immediate family or those that you really love, right? So the gifts that come from Jesus, it's because he loves us so much. And what does he expect from us? He expects us to, sing it again.
I'm madly in love with you.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm madly in love with you.
Go ahead. That's good. Yes. And now they've all got the giggles. So, yeah. But isn't that the truth? That's it, guys. We get these gifts because Jesus said, love me, fall in love with me. You know, that old chorus we used to sing a long time ago, Alice, I keep falling in love with you. You don't know it? Over and over and
over and over and over and over again.
They all just began to sing, and they broke into chorus. It was beautiful. But the gift here is the gift of peace. Jesus said, this is what I'm giving you. I'm leaving you a gift. Here it is. And here's how you're going to get that peace. You fall in love with me. You get to a point, Aaron needs to sing it again, don't you think?
I think
you
so.
You get to a point where you are so in love. Are you ready, Aaron? Where you're so in love with Jesus that you're able to grab that peace because he is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Go ahead.
I'm madly in love with you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm madly in love with you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm madly in love with you. Yes, I'm madly in love with you.
Oh, wow. And so when we get to that point and we are falling in love with him, he says, aha, I'm going to give you a gift. It's my peace. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I need peace on a daily basis because sometimes I wake up and it feels like the devil's pounding my head when I start the day. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And like the fear comes or the unbelief or whatever begins to attack or the doubt. And you got to stop right then and say, wait a minute, devil. No way. You're not doing this to me because I have a gift. I have peace. peace that passes all understanding. When I don't understand what God's going to do here in my situation, have no clue how this mess is going to straighten out, I still can rely on the peace of God. Comment on that, Alice. Mm.
Yes, we can.
That's a Connie answer, Alice. All righty there. Peace I leave with you, says Jesus. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. This is where we lose our peace. Fear, letting our hearts get troubled, letting ourselves think about the what ifs. And we lose that place of peace, and it's usually a downhill battle from there until we were skidding down the hill. Any of you ever sled? I grew up in Guatemala, actually, but for the first few years of my life, I lived in Indiana, and we had a sled. And I used to have that sled, and now it was mine, but it is in the family. But it was one of those old ones with the runners, you know, the wooden ones, the wooden slats, and then the runners. And so it was fun to go down hills, and close to where we lived in Indiana before we moved to Central America, my dad liked to do that. And we would take us, and we would sled, and we would go down, you know. And you're starting at the top, and that sled starts, and you're, you know. You know how it goes. And then you're getting faster and faster, and you're going down, you know, quickly. Maybe sometimes you fall and run into trees and stuff, and things like that happen. And spiritually, this is, yes, it is. It is, Connie. This is a metaphor for what happens when the devil starts to take us down a slippery slope.
But, you know, we can stop that.
We can, Alice?
I am guilty of that, of letting things overwhelm me, and I start sliding down that slippery slope.
Right.
But I have found that by praising God,
amen,
and listening to praise and worship songs,
yes,
or singing to God,
yes,
I sing around my house because,
right,
I need that.
Right.
And just praising God, doing those things, whether you feel like it or not,
mm-hmm,
they lift your spirits.
Amen.
And they get you back up to where you need to be.
Absolutely. And then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I need to walk in peace right now. Do you have a comment to that, or do you want to sing that again?
Before I sing it again.
Before you sing it again.
I have this image of Chevy Chase's Christmas Vacation.
I do too.
I
love that.
Right,
I love that movie. One of my favorites.
And I was thinking, you know, sometimes we just go right ahead and we like grease up the bottom of that sled for him. You know what I mean?
For the devil?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Aaron.
Like sometimes we just, you know, we give him a hand and
how do we do that?
Breaking our necks down the
right. How do we do that?
Slipper slope. I think doubt.
I mean,
you know, like doubting that we have the peace.
Right.
You know? I mean, there's so many ways.
We buy the lie of the devil.
Yeah.
Yes. We did a great show last year in June. It was, I think, about the first Sunday of June, Nan, wasn't it? The one on Don't Buy the Lie. It's on our website. It's a great show about that. Don't Buy the Lie. I've assigned it to many people in counseling that they need to go listen to that show because it tells you what the devil does. So the key to all this is being madly in love with Jesus, right? And as we fall madly in love with him, get your guitar ready.
Madly in love with you.
I'm
madly in love with you.
Praise God.
So madly in love with you. Oh, I'm madly in love with you.
One of our favorite songs of Beacon of Hope is a song called Days of Elijah. It talks about the harvest is ready. The people are out there. They're ready to hear the word. We believe that with all our hearts. We believe that that people are ready to find salvation. They're ready to find peace. And that is what we are declaring. We're declaring that today. And we're going to do something we've never done before because we're just having a good time on our five-year anniversary show. We figure we can. And Connie's going to just
choir.
Hoop and holler, I know.
Yeah,
and Aaron, we're going to do Days of Elijah. We do so often at church. And this gang, this radio gang, and is going to sing with us. And I wish Madeline was here on the drums, but, you know, hey, she's not. So, anyway, that
next
was,
time she can call
profound.
In with her djembe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. There you go.
Call, Madeline, call.
go ahead, Aaron.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days.
year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation.
Is one of our favorite songs, Out of Zion's Hill. Zion refers to the overcoming church. Out of Zion's Hill, salvation comes, and it's time for salvation to be so strong in our hearts and peace to rule. Thank you, Aaron. Fantastic. I don't know what we're going to do when we need you to sing Madly again, but anyway,
we can share.
Praise God. No, it's just great. Salvation has got to rule. Would you guys like to do How Great Is Our God in a minute? Would you like to do that?
Yeah.
Sure. Why don't we? We'll do that instead of a love them like Jesus. Can you get that ready?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. We'll do that in a few minutes.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. Madeline, are you on the air with us? No, it's not supposed to be Madeline. I'm looking at the wrong line, aren't I? It's Pastor Jim. Jim and Nan. I'm looking at the wrong line here. All right. Wow.
Wrong pew. You were in the right church. It's wrong pew.
Yeah. Whatever you said. Okay.
Whatever.
Okay. So we're talking about the peace of God and how important it is to fall in love with him. And that song, The Days of Elijah, talks about the harvest is ripe. And we are ready for a great revival in the world right now. I believe this is what God is saying. I've preached it. I believe it with all my heart. The harvest is ripe. I'll try to get it out of there in a minute here. Pastor Jim, comment on that so I can take a drink of water.
Okay. Well, a couple of places, you know, we see that, you know, this is the time of the harvest. We can symbolize that in the feasts of Israel. It was the fall feasts were the harvest feasts. And, you know, and they are symbolic of Jesus. I mean, they're a type, they're a prophecy of Jesus coming back. So we know that before he returns, there will be a great harvest.
Absolutely.
We read in the book of Revelation, John saw a number that no one could count who had come out of the great tribulation.
Yes.
You know, those who had come out, who'd been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And it's just, it's, you know, so we know the harvest is coming.
Exactly.
And we are laborers.
Amen. Amen. And it's time to start walking in this peace we've been talking about today, the kingdom of God, the righteousness, peace, and joy. And then when we begin to walk in that peace, we begin to have a glimpse of the joy, how the joy of the Lord can be our strength. Don't you think, when we begin to get into that place of peace?
Most definitely. It was interesting, there's been so much about talk about peace today, because about 2 weeks ago or so, and I may have even said on the radio show, I'm not sure, the Lord led me to look up where the word peace was throughout the entire Bible.
Sure.
And it is so powerful when you read about peace.
Right.
You know, just, you can do that off many of the Bible commentaries off online and do a search and put them in Word and print them out and carry them with you. It's fantastic, the peace. I mean, I have felt and sensed peace since reading Areas of Peace.
Absolutely.
You read the one verse and then it's like, well, this is really intriguing. So then you can go to the Bible and you can read, you know, the verses around it, the chapter it was in, whatever. And you're just, you know, the peace just seems to start coming as you start meditating more on being at peace.
Well, listen to Isaiah 26 again, not planned right now, but it's for somebody out there and probably for all of us. Isaiah 26:1. In that day, which is now, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. And Judah talks about praise. When we are walking in praise, here's the song. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Guys, that's what it's all about. We need to be out there, and we need to be ministering salvation. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. Zion is the overcoming church. You are Zion. And out of you comes salvation for others, as you talk to them. We started today with people need the Lord. And as we begin to madly fall in love with God, Aaron, as we begin to madly fall in love with Him, we begin to want to have Him, the Prince of Peace, as the ruler in our lives. I love Isaiah 26, where he says, open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. That's what it's all about. Verse 3, Isaiah 26, 3. Gave you this as homework a long time ago. Nan, Isaiah 26, 3.
26, 3.
You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Ooh, Pastor Jim, talk about that, because walking and keeping that eternally right in front of us, the peace, then leads us into this hundredfold realm of joy, where the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. You want to talk on that?
Well, you can't have, I like the way everything builds on the thing before it. I mean, righteousness is the foundation.
Right.
Without righteousness, how peaceful can we be if we don't know that we're in right standing with God?
Exactly.
How in the world can we be peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul says in Romans chapter 5, let us have peace with God, or have peace. We have peace with God because we're justified.
Right.
We're made righteous. So it's all, that peace comes from our knowing that we are the righteousness of God.
Absolutely.
So we can be at peace. Peace with God, peace with each other. We can have, and I should mention, you know, the word in, as I'm sure Nan knows by now, the word in Hebrew, shalom, does not just mean, you know, peace. It means wholeness.
Wholeness.
I mean, it really means just wholeness, just calmness, steadfastness, very, you know. And so that's why, you know, you read Isaiah 26:3, the steadfast mind he will keep in perfect wholeness.
Exactly.
You know, it's more than just, I'm at peace. It's I'm whole. I'm made whole.
Exactly.
And because of that, then we can move into that. We can move into the joy.
Absolutely, we can.
We can rejoice because we've been made righteous. We have peace.
Right.
I can have joy because of it. I can be joyful.
Absolutely. And it changes everything about us, doesn't it? Everything, the way we're really thinking, we begin to think differently and act differently. You want to comment on that before we get Madeline and Alice back in here in a minute?
I just know it is applying it to my own life that I can see improvement.
Yes.
just just walking in that and just...
There's benefits to peace, aren't there?
Oh, there's benefits to peace, yes. You don't need
Does your day go any better when you're walking in that peace?
Oh, most definitely.
And Jesus said, this, my peace I leave you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So it's not the kind of peace the world gives. This is a different kind of peace. This is a deep inner contentment and a joy, and it's amazing. Go ahead.
This is a peace that we have... And when we're facing difficult times at work, you know some hassles I've had at work and
yes.
just some responsibilities and some things. And in the midst of that, there have been days that I've had peace about
right.
when I look to him. Now,
right.
The days I was not feeling very peaceful, it's because of me.
Right.
And nothing to do with him. He was still there. I just didn't happen to
How
look
wonderful
at it that way.
To go through the days in peace.
Imagine.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Do you have a comment to that before we get Allison here?
Actually, I was about
here?
To burst into song.
You were? What were you going to sing,
Remember
Madly?
That old Maranatha song, Peace Give I to Thee. Remember that one?
That's an old one, yeah.
40 years ago?
Yeah, yeah, I thought you were thinking of peace.
No.
Wonderful peace. Yeah. Praise God. But this is so important. Stay right here. Madeline, are you there?
I'm here.
We've been crazy in here, Madeline.
I know. I have to make a comment about Pastor Jim's fancy handiwork with the tambourine. I was watching. Very impressive.
Oh, you were watching?
Thank you.
Cool. All right. We wish you were here with us today, Madeline, but we now understand you could not be. But we're talking about this peace and how the peace then moves you into an area of joy and where joy becomes your strength. And you want to talk on that a minute? Madeline, before we get Alice back in here.
Yeah, Pete, that is good and great news because, peace has been kind of my, catchphrase, whatever you want to say, for the past, 8 or 9 years. And I carry little rocks with peace on them, and I've got a peace thing in my house, and I've even got a peace tattoo. That is my focus. That's what I try to look forward to. It's just that's the end game is peace.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to
yes.
feel. And I know although it's peace and then joy, I imagine that, kind of goes hand in hand because to me, joy would be peace.
Absolutely.
And, at all times and knowing how to claim that peace when I'm trying to stir up my stuff. And God's just right there wanting to give me freedom from that.
Exactly.
And that sounds like, intense, incredible joy to me.
And you're right about that. I think the joy does evolve from the peace. I really do. Because mm-hmm. when you start to walk in that kind of peace, something happens on the inside of you and you realize, wow, I'm not sitting around here stewing in my stuff anymore. And as a friend of mine likes to say, on my sit and spin, you know what I'm saying? Alice, you want to come?
It's really amazing how the joy comes because it's like you have the sense of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like all that stuff that was worrying you and troubling you
yes.
and stirring up inside you, that falls away and it's just replaced by this peace.
Right.
And you can't help but feeling the joy. I mean, it's just there. It bubbles up from the inside.
It's a happy thought to know that you can walk really in the peace of God instead of being beaten down
right.
by your circumstances
right.
and your worries and your fears and your doubts. What better thing to be walking in peace than to walk in all that junk?
Oh, yeah. And that junk can be so heavy and so hard to carry around. And I think that... And I'm guilty of this, too, of allowing the weight of all the junk to just kind of drag us down through the mud. And we have to remember that God is there and he's lifting us up through this whole
exactly.
thing. Exactly. And so if we can just give that junk over to him,
right.
our walk is so much easier and so much lighter. And then we get that sense of peace and then comes the joy.
There comes the joy. Madeline, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, it's funny as Alice was talking, I was just thinking that, we really cause our own lack of peace. And it's not, I think, because we want to be ensconced in all of our stuff, but it's just, it's kind of how we humans react to life. We think we have to be on top of things. We think we have to be controlling everything. And then that all just becomes habit. So even when we want to release it and we try to give things to God, our habits, you know, just kind of kick in, and our brain is just so used to processing in a certain way that, you know, we're kind of at a disadvantage because we've had years and years of this practice of trying to take care of our, you know, all of our stuff. And, you know, we really have to relearn how to give our issues over to God so that we can feel the peace. And I really feel that it's something that we have to, you know, embark on intentionally and make a decision that we're going to do what it takes to relearn how we can let go of our stuff for good so that we don't keep letting our, you know, the habit of our brain functions just kick in and keep us in this, you know, endless spin cycle of craziness.
Exactly. Oh, profound. Go ahead, Alice.
I'd have to agree with Madeline. I mean, it's one reason why we have to be so intentional about keeping God's word in our heart. And
intentional.
Reading.
There's our word again,
yeah,
right?
You have to be very intentional. You have to take the time to read God's word so that you mm-hmm. can keep it on the inside of you. So when you're mm-hmm. going through all of this stuff and junk, it can come to your mind, you
right.
know, and you can remember it. And you can remember, you know, God's already taken care of this.
Right.
You know, Jesus has already paid the price for all this stuff that I've done, all this guilt I may be holding on to for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, it's when you remember that, it's so much easier to let it go and
absolutely.
Let God take care of it. And then you're just, you know, you're just walking lighter and it's easier.
And then that joy just flows. It
right.
just begins to flow where we can really say, like Nehemiah in Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because as we move from that peace and really, I mean, make it ours. We own it. You know, that's a term right now in this day and age. We own it, you know. When we own that peace and say, that's mine. That Jesus gave me that. That I have a right to that peace, you know. It's not just here today and gone tomorrow. I can live in this, you know. And when that begins to happen, we move into an area of joy that is, it's amazing,
yeah.
amazing.
I know that I can walk into church on a Sunday morning and, you know, really not be feeling 100% up to par for whatever circumstances may be going on. But when I get up, you know, on the platform with the rest of the praise team and we praise God together and we're you're leading the congregation into worship.
Right.
I get happy.
Yes.
I don't know how else
I hear
describe
you.
It
I know
that.
Exactly
you know,
what you're saying.
I find myself, you know, doing a little step,
the happy
step
dance.
Up. I have a little happy dance up there, you know, and,
yeah.
and when I have a twirly skirt on, it's even better.
Right,
you know?
Sure. There you go. Right.
But it's just a happy time
right.
for me. And I really enjoy it. And I really feel that all this stuff that I may have walked in on,
right.
in with, is I'm leaving it there.
Exactly.
It's just kind of falling off and everything's good.
Amen. Madeline, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, you know, that makes me think that we have to really, you know, find our things that are going to give us that happy feeling, like Alice said when she engages in you know, praising God through the music that we do at the church. And I feel the same way. I mean, you know, how many times have we come in and we're all dragging our stuff in with us and, you know, we're all in
we need to leave it at the door.
And we're like, oh, you know, I feel this or I've got a headache or I had a bad week. And we're really not there. And then we start praising God and, you know, we start praying for each other and all that stuff. And it really lifts us up. And we have to take that outside of, you know, church and in our time when we're just by ourselves, when we don't have that support of a group to help lift us up and find our happy moments. You know, that we can do have with God on our own time. And then when we're feeling, you know, we have those low moments, we have to remember, oh, remember when I felt joy because I started praising God? And that's going to help to change, you know, I mean, I hate to be so technical, but, you know, change the brain that we, you know, have that habit in there of just,
right.
oh, I feel bad. And this is how bad feels. And you cry and you feel draggy and you don't want to get out and you don't want to do anything with people. And I have to remember, oh, remember that joy. I thought, how did I have that joy? And, you know, kind of recreate those moments so that we just keep going forward.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, because it's profound that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because when we get to that place and we are not bogged down over here in condemnation, we're not bogged down with agitation and fear and worry and anxiety, but we really are walking in peace. We're walking in righteousness and then we're walking in peace. then it's just a natural progression to get right into the joy of the Lord. Now, guys, I propose to y'all that when we get to the place, y'all, when we get to a place.
I think I'm back in Texas.
Yeah, when we get to a place where we're walking in that joy of the Lord, we are strong.
Yeah.
We want to. There's power there. We want to teach others the word. We want to help pray for somebody. We want to call somebody and check on them. We want to wake up in the middle of the night and intercede for somebody because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we're walking in such joy, we just want to give it away. Comment on that, Alice, and we'll get back to you, Madeline.
No, that's completely true. I know that, you know, when I have that sense of joy, you know, especially standing up there and singing with the praise team and really worshiping God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
And I sense that power of God that's just like flowing through.
Yes.
You know, it's an amazing feeling. And I know that's the only time that I get that when I'm praising God. That's the only time that I have found that I feel that sense of true joy and power.
Then it's at that time, and then Madeline, I'm coming to you for a comment. It is at that time that we really need to do kingdom business. We need to intercede for people. We need to do that outreach in the spirit and praying for people because we're in that place
right.
of that joy, and that's where our strength is. Madeline, you want to finish this segment up with your comment?
I agree. I know when I'm usually feeling that way, you know, when you're feeling like your peak self, you know, that's when those thoughts come to my mind without even having to think about it. You know, you think about your friends and your church family and who's going through what and, you know, who you can reach out to or who you can just, you know, just have a conversation with, just make a call.
Right.
You know, those things that let people know that you're thinking about them and that could hopefully give them a boost if they're having a hard time, and that's true. And it's so easy when we do it. And, you know, all of that, I think about God thinking how he must feel happy when we're doing the right thing like that, you know. And
amen.
I feel like, oh, good, we're making him proud. And, you know, we have to try to find the way again. I can't stress enough to just remember that and
yes.
help ourselves learn that so we can keep it going and not have to have these extreme highs and lows all the time in our life, but keep peace and joy as our baseline.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be crazy, you know, at the top of everything, but, you know, just keep that as the baseline and then have the really good highs and hopefully the lows won't dip down so deep.
Amen. Excellent observations, Madeline. And we're going to go to this song live. So, Madeline, we won't come back to you. Thank you so much for your years of dedication on the radio team. We love you. We love your wisdom. God bless you. How great is our God?
Woo!
Live in the studio.
Beginning and the end. Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Who sing with me? How great is our God? And all will see how great, how great.
Hallelujah. Amen. That was fun. Thanks, Aaron and the gang. Woo, all right. The kingdom of God. Connie and Pastor Jim, come finish it up with us, okay? Praise God. Pastor Jim, we've been talking some profound things here in the last few minutes. I don't know about you, but I feel like we have been explaining what this kingdom living is all about and how important it is and vital, vital to our Christian walk.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no, when you get right down to it, either we're in the kingdom or we're not.
Right.
And to be in the kingdom is life.
Yes.
And life everlasting. And it's not, you know, like we've said all through the program, it's not just fire insurance.
Right.
You know, you don't get, well, you can get saved just to escape hell. But why stop there?
Right.
There's
why not
so
go
much
on
more.
With God and find out everything he has? Connie, I don't know about you, but I know that I just want to get closer to God on a daily basis. I want to experience more peace, like Alice and Madeline and I were just talking about. I want to experience that joy on a daily basis.
It, you know, when you have things going on in your life that you have to, that you feel like you have to worry about.
Right.
You know, things, you don't have enough money to meet all the bills. You don't have whatever. You don't have food. You don't have a job. You don't have whatever. And just imagine that things are going wrong in your life, but you don't have to fret over it.
Right.
And you have,
that feel like? Yeah, right. That's what we're saying.
Even though things aren't good, you're not the one that has to figure it out.
Right.
You're the one that
gotta
has to be still
and, let God. Yes.
And listen.
Yes.
And let him take care of it.
Amen. And that's, it's hard to get to that.
It's kind of like being a kid when you don't have any responsibilities.
Right.
Not that we don't have responsibilities, but it's kind of like that because you have somebody who loves you more than you can ever imagine.
Right.
Who is just taking care of everything for you.
Amen.
It's kind of like being a kept woman.
Right. Or being a child where you don't have to pay your rent and you don't have to pay for your food or your clothes or whatever. And that is really what God provides for us, that and that gives us total peace.
Amen.
Woo.
I'm pulling a Connie here.
You're pulling a Connie. Yes. Okay. Did you want to comment any more than that, Connie?
Well, yeah.
Pastor Jim.
But it's, you know, the peace that passes all understanding. We can't comprehend it where things are going wrong, and yet we still feel peaceful. And that's one thing that's going to maybe bring people into the kingdom.
When
there's a lot of chaos going on, we can be like Jesus in that boat in the Sea of Galilee and just sleep on.
Right.
You know, he was asleep.
Right.
And the disciples had to wake him up and say, don't you care?
Right.
And if we have the peace of God, you know, the boat can be rocking and people can be screaming and yelling and we can
just be going.
We can just be peaceful.
Absolutely.
And I do believe this. We can say just like Jesus, peace, cease, be still.
Amen. That's where we learn to take our authority.
Exactly.
And
we
walk
can't
in
do that
peace.
Without peace.
Right.
We can't, you can't really come in, because how can you take authority if you're all jumbled and you're part of the chaos?
Right.
You can't stop the chaos.
Absolutely. And so we've got to desire the peace and the joy and the righteousness of God more than the chaos, the worry, the fear, the anger, all the junk of the past. We've got to desire that new way of living. And that is what we're talking about here today, living in the kingdom of God. So, Connie, we march forward day by day, don't we? And we just give it our best. There's days that we have hard times, right? There's days.
One day at a time.
One day at a time.
His mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm on my about 2 millionth
mercy?
Second chance.
Oh, second chance? Yeah. Okay, yeah. And because he gives us a fresh start, he's God of the fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
And David talked about that in the Psalms. I think Psalm 32, he says, God, you are the God of the fresh start, you know. And so we rely on him every moment of the day. And there are times that we are busy at work and we're doing things and we don't have time to stop and pray. But there is an inner awareness on the inside of us that God has seen us through that situation.
And which is good, you know, again, if our mind is set on him as much as we can, you know, he'll keep us in perfect peace,
in
not
perfect
just
peace.
Half peace,
right?
But perfect peace.
Absolutely.
And I think that goes back again. That's the peace that passes all understanding. We may not be able to comprehend it. Certainly those around us who don't know God will not be able to comprehend it. But we get to live it. That's the blessing. We get to live the peace.
You're just like, you know, when you're flying in an airplane and you look down out the window and you see all the towns and all the little people. You can't really see the people from up there, but you're up there above. You know, a lot of times we're above the clouds. We're definitely above the cities and the buildings and all of that. And you look, that is where God wants us to begin to live. You know, we're in that kind of a peaceful state. We're just gliding along, but not that we're unaware of what's going on around us, because when we need to fight, we need to fight, you know, but when we need to just trust God in our circumstances. Connie, do you have any other parting words here for everybody?
Well, like you were saying about gliding and, you know, you know where the treachery parts are, those buildings, those trees, those things. And so you can see them in a better perspective from that, from that view.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so this is our admonition to each of you listeners today. We are Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are dedicated to getting the good news of the gospel out there to you in such a way that you will learn from this format and you will learn from our life experiences, which we like to share with you, and that you will tell others about this ministry, this radio ministry. Pastor Jim, Connie, Terry, Alice, Nan, Aaron, Madeline, Carol, Nathan, our whole gang, you know, and some that aren't with us today. What a joy to be able to share on this radio station. Our thanks to Dave and Lola. Through these years, we're continuing on. We're starting our sixth year next Sunday.
Ooh.
We're continuing on live.
Here's
and
five more.
We got a lot of work to get done for God's kingdom, and we're excited about doing that. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, come and join us on our service. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 7. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. Find out all about us, what we're doing. If this show is your home church, and I know it is for a lot of people. Why don't you pray about giving financially to support this show? God has blessed us for 5 years. There's not been a time we haven't had the money for our show. We pay in advance before the show. God has always provided, but we would like to expand the ministry of the radio, and we need more funds to do that. So if you want to be a part of that, go to our website, go to PayPal, and you can give to beaconofhopeministries.com.
Amen.
It's going to be a great week for all of you out there. We speak God's blessing to every single one of you listeners, whether you're listening live today or later on our website. God bless you. Know that God loves you so very much. He has a plan for you, and he wants you to live in the kingdom of God on a daily basis, walking in his righteousness, walking in his peace, and walking in his joy, so that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's not far to Jesus. God bless you all. On behalf of our radio team at Beacon of Hope Ministries, this has been Pastor Marcia McAllister and my gang right here, my peeps,
my posse,
who are dedicated to the word of the Lord. It's not far to Jesus. See you next week.
Peeps.
Blair there.
Safely to his side.